Are you searching for adventure?
Twink, bear, cub, otter.
She was like a murdery Gorton's fisherman.
Wait, this happened in the movie?
A lifetime of Hallmark.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Les Kirkendall Barrett, and it's your favorite day of the week. Another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and try to make sense of them. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
So here we are, another week of quarantine, which means we watch even more movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel. How are you guys holding up?
I'm bored.
Good.
So bored.
Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah, the only social interaction I've had, I did a puzzle exchange outside yesterday, and that was it.
Outside?
I wore a mask.
How did you do?
I went out. A friend of mine wanted to, he had a couple puzzles. He wanted to exchange puzzles with me, and so, he didn't come in the house. I went outside. And
so what did you do? Like, put the puzzle on the ground and, like, kick it to him? And then he kicked another puzzle back.
Yeah, that's a big mess. So all the pieces got all mixed up. So he's out there now putting it together. No, we kept our social distance 6 feet away, and I wore a mask. And that was it. So I got these puzzles. And then I put the puzzles to the side, and they have to sit there for 3 days until the possible
coronavirus. No way, really?
Well, no, I don't need to be doing the puzzles. I have another puzzle I'm passively working on. Mm-hmm. Very exciting news here.
What about you, Jason? What are you up to?
I'm curious to know what the puzzle is of, Kurt.
Do you want to see what it is? I'm happy to show you what it is. First of all, there's pieces all over. This is my table. So if you want to get a shot of that, I don't know. It's a disaster. And I'll show you it's this.
Okay.
It's a dog sitting next to a chair.
Yeah, we have to describe this to our audience. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. And that's what's going on.
Wow.
Are you guys watching a lot of TV?
I am, yeah, a decent amount. Obviously watched the Schitt's Creek finale last week, which I loved. How far are you, Les? Because I know you're watching now.
I am on episode 3 of season 6.
Oh, okay. So you're near the end.
But season 5, like, that show, I mean, I think that this show is probably one of the best arcs in TV.
I agree.
Because the people went from, like, totally unlikable to, like, lovable. Like, I watched season 5 over the past few days, and one of the episodes, actually two of the episodes of season 5 almost made me cry.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were touching.
Yeah, there's an episode in season 3 and one in season 4 where I actually did cry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And this is my problem. When I first started watching the show, I did not like it. I wanted to love it. I love everyone involved. I love Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy, and I like the premise. And I just couldn't root for any of them. And somebody told me, jump ahead in season 2. They get more into the characters. And once they did, once they started to endear the characters to the audience, that's when I started liking it.
See, I started from the beginning only because I heard that about the story arc of them becoming likable, but I didn't realize it was going to be as extreme as it is.
Yeah.
Because it's totally extreme.
Well, I think also what they realize, which they may not have going into this, is that one of the things that makes those characters likable is the characters around them either tolerating them or actually liking them as well.
Right.
Like, we get to like them through the eyes of the other characters on the show.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I'll be finished, I think, at the rate I've been watching, because they're only 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
So I'll probably be done tomorrow.
Suddenly we are now a Schitt's Creek podcast rather than a Lifetime of Hallmark.
Right? It's too bad I didn't discover this earlier, or it could have been.
Right. Is this all on Netflix?
So it's a CBC and Pop TV co-production. So it airs in Canada and it airs here in the U.S. on Pop TV, the cable network. But first five seasons are on Netflix. Season six just finished on Pop TV, will be on Netflix later this year.
But if you want to watch the sixth season right away, what we did is we watched the five seasons on Netflix, and then Amazon Prime has season six. Mm-hmm. So we just paid it's $20 for the whole season. So we just paid the $20.
And I just watched it on demand because I have the cable login.
Oh yeah. I probably have it available. I'm going to get Netflix. I'm going to invest in that.
Highly recommend. Kurt. Yeah.
Yes. I have Disney Plus. I'm still watching the Marvel movies, and then I'm going to cancel Disney Plus this month and move on to another outlet.
Last night,
I watched the last Marvel movie I watched Captain America, The Dark Soldier. Is that what it is?
Winter Soldier?
Winter Soldier. Yeah, that was good. I like that. Except Robert Redford is a trigger for me.
Why?
Because years ago, I went to the Sundance Film Festival, and I had a movie I was promoting. And so part of the movie was my promotional thing was a picture of me in a shopping cart. And I saw Jodie Foster out, just like, you know, outside. So I said, I walked up to her. I said, Miss Foster. And she's like, yeah. I said, I just want to give you this. I gave her this postcard of myself in the shopping cart. And she was just disgusted.
Then,
oh, man. It was like, oh, really? She was just absolutely repulsed. And so next week I get Entertainment Weekly and I see a picture of Jodie Foster with Robert Redford. She's wearing the same outfit, so she must have like seen him later on that night. And Robert Redford said, this place has become overrun with cuckoo bees and wannabes. And I thought, she saw him after that and showed him this picture of me in a shopping cart. And so he decided I was a cuckoo bee and a wannabe. I'm watching this movie and I'm like, there he is. And I was trying not to think about it, but I couldn't. A cuckoo bee and wannabe.
I just like that you've turned this and made it where Robert was definitely talking about you.
Right.
She was wearing the same outfit. And I'm sure she was probably carrying around for a little bit and said, look at this. I'm disgusted. What are we going to do?
If it's one thing we know about Jodie Foster is that all she does in her free time is bitch about the people she has met in her day.
Oh, she sure wasn't happy.
Oh my God, that's funny.
That lambs go screaming, Clarice.
Oh my God, and then so I've been watching some movies. I'm still watching the Marvel movies, but I took a little break and I watched Midsommar. Have you guys seen that movie? Yeah.
What's it called?
Midsommar.
Midsommar?
Yes.
Oh, a Midsommar Night's sex comedy, the Woody Allen movie.
Well, no, this is called Midsommar, and it was not a comedy. No.
What is it? I've heard of this.
It was out last year, right?
These college kids who one of their friends invites them to go to Sweden to celebrate this midsummer celebration. And it's actually a town in Sweden that, you know, no one can get to. And it's, you know, separate from the rest of Sweden. And let's just say things happen.
Oh, yeah. Is this on Netflix?
Amazon Prime as well.
Wow.
But it's free on Amazon Prime.
You have to have Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You're just getting Netflix.
I'm getting that, and then I'm getting Showtime free, and then it made me switch to Amazon Prime.
Kurt just now canceled his Blockbuster membership.
That's right. I have my West Coast video card.
Last night, I started watching a show on Netflix called Elite, which is it's a Spanish kind of teen soap. Sort of like a CW show, but it's produced for Spain and airs around the world. And a friend of mine recommended it. It is so like bonkers with soap opera tropes, and everyone it's high school kids, but they're obviously adults playing high school kids, and there's a lot of sex and nudity.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of it. And I am not mad about it.
Are there hair flipping?
There's some hair flipping.
Okay. Yes. A good soap opera has hair flipping.
Yeah. But there's it's not like a daytime soap opera, though. It's a nighttime teen soap opera.
So like a 90210.
Like a 902. Like, like a OC Veronica Mars, but way more sex. And everyone on there is insanely hot.
Okay, I will be watching that. That's on the list.
Speaking of hair flipping, let me see if I can get this. I didn't know this was going to come up. This was on CNN yesterday. There was a news story on CNN, and the headline, like the words on the bottom, whatever they're called, it says covering both a pubic health crisis and economic crisis. They left out the L. They try to say public, covering both a pubic health crisis and economic crisis. It was on CNN yesterday, in case you missed it. So there's a pubic crisis.
Well, there could
a
be
a pubic crisis. Well,
hey, look at me in the transitions. I'm learning from Les Kirkendall Barrett with the transition. Speaking of hair flipping.
And speaking of transitions, do we have any Black China news?
Oh, do we ever.
China.
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 I have to have my China.
China!
And now, the Black China Report. Here's Kirk Fitzpatrick.
All right, this is from page 6. This is from today, which today we're recording this on April 13th, 2020. Black China is criticized for $950 FaceTime calls and $250 Instagram followers. She has found a new side hustle. The 31-year-old Lash Cosmetics owner and former Robin China reality star is charging $950 for a virtual chat with her on FaceTime and $250 to follow a fan back on Instagram, both via her business's website. Fans who are unable to pay the cash up front have the option of doing so with 4 interest-free installments.
She's financing?
Okay. Naturally, China, who is in an ongoing custody battle with ex Rob Kardashian, is being called out for her newfound business venture. This woman has officially hit rock bottom. At Black China is selling a follow back for you said that anyway. And there's a payment plan available. You can't make this shit up. Others shamed her for charging such steep prices amid the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Why can't Black China out here selling? Why Black China out here selling follow backs and FaceTimes with her for mad money? Have you seen how high unemployment is right now? Another person tweeted, Black China selling a follow back on IG for $250 face during a effing world crisis, like bad timing, LOL. I don't know why they're laughing all of a sudden, but. Also, Tori Spelling recently came under fire for charging $95 for a virtual meet and greet. Her husband, Dean McDermott, then posted a lengthy video on Instagram in which he slammed the critics.
But does Tori offer financing too?
I think for hers, she might charge interest, but I don't know that. I'm speculating.
Back in 2019, would you have ever suspected that we would be talking about what kind of credit rating you need in order to be able to talk to Black China?
I don't know. But this is another – this is, I'll tell you how low in the entertainment industry I am. I was once the stand-in for – I was thinking I was a stand-in for Tori Spelling's brother. I was the stand-in for Neve Campbell's brother.
Oh, Christian Campbell.
Christian Campbell?
Yeah, I was his stand-in one time. But I tell you what, we could pay Jack Black China $950 and she can come on her show, apparently. Because we do this via FaceTime.
You know, I'd be up for creating a savings.
I don't know.
The thing is, I can't be mad at her about this. The fact that she broke it down into payments, and I bet you there are people out there that will pay it. I can't be mad at her for that.
Yeah, we just promoted it.
I could see the $250 for the follow back on Insta being more worth your money than paying her $950 for a FaceTime call.
Right.
Because at least the follow back, that's almost an endorsement of whatever brand your Instagram is. And right. if you're trying to do something with that for your business or to monetize it somehow, and you have someone with Black China's following you back, that actually could be a game changer for you.
Right. What is that? A follow back. So she's just following your Instagram?
Yeah.
Like she's charging for that?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Like she'll follow you and maybe comment.
But it works into the algorithm. If you have someone, you know, famous following you on Instagram, it helps your post find a home, find an audience.
So that'd be like somebody, you pay someone to be your Facebook friend. It's kind of like that.
Kind of,
yeah.
All right.
Kind of. And then did you read about how she dyed her kid's hair blue?
You said
like an Easter egg?
Yeah.
Well, she didn't dye it. She took her kid and got her kid's hair dyed blue, like blue streaks, because the kid wanted her hair like her mom. So, you know, bringing up the kids. That's funny. I can't believe that. I love that. A layaway plan for Black China. And then what happens if you...
Budget accordingly.
What happens if you defer on your payment?
Oh, well, then she has to get in touch with her collection agency, I guess.
I wonder if she has some loan forgiveness in these trying times.
Actually, I bet she'd show up at your house.
Oh, yeah? Well, and then she'll charge you for that.
I'd beat you up.
I'd pay for her to beat me up. I think that'd be funny. That'd be great for the show. Pay her to beat me up and then come on the show. I just got beaten up.
That would be wonderful for the show.
I have your eyes hanging out. Black China bit it.
Well, you didn't go to Boston.
Well, that still might happen. Look, that was canceled. I thought a virus might happen, so I knew I had to stay home from that.
Right. So then you can make it up to us by having like China come to your house and beat you up.
She wants to, but she has to keep 6 feet away from me.
Right.
She could throw things at me.
I bet she would. And Tokyo Tony too.
I could catch all kind of stuff from her probably, so I have to be careful.
Oh jeez. Oh. I couldn't imagine. Anyway, shall we get into this movie?
I think we shall.
Oh boy.
Okay. I forgot to write down the name of it. It's something fashionably
yours.
And to be honest with you guys, the reason why I picked it was just because since we talked about a Lifetime fashion movie where it was bananas and the photographer was like murdering people. Mm-hmm. When I saw that there was a movie about fashion on the Hallmark Channel, I thought it would be interesting to watch this just to see the differences and Hallmark's interpretation of the fashion industry.
Oh yeah,
which it's brand new too.
Which was way different.
Yeah,
I think
it is.
It was way different. So we start off, and we are in Seattle. Now, one of the three of us on this podcast has lived in Seattle. It's not me.
Who? It's not me.
Yeah, not me.
I did. For a brief period of time, I did live in Seattle. In fact, there's a scene in this movie. They're walking out of the Pike Place Market, and I thought, there's a sex shop right across the street there that they're not showing in the shot.
So was it pretty much on point then with, like, their scenery and stuff?
Well, there's a couple. They did shoot at least some of it in Seattle.
Yeah, they definitely shot there. Yeah. It was pretty obvious that it was actually filmed there.
Yeah, because there's the Ferris wheel and Pike Place Market and all that stuff is, they clearly at least spent a day or two in Seattle. I don't know if they shot the whole thing there, but they didn't have to.
Right. So then we see this woman and she's getting ready for work. And I was like, oh my God, it's Kat Graham. Kat Graham, who was on The Vampire Diaries for years. She was Bonnie from The Vampire Diaries. And she's also a pop star, or at least she had a pop star.
Did she?
Yes. So, so Cat Graham, or Lauren, she's listening to the radio. They're giving the weather report. They're telling her that it's going to be like 50 degrees and kind of warm, so she gets a jacket. But when she goes outside, it's like cold, and she has to run back in and get like her winter coat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the weather is weird there. It's different. So I live in New Jersey now, which is where I've lived most of my life. I live in New York for years too. But East Coast, like if it rains, like today it's raining. So it rains all day. Wake up, it's raining, it's still raining. Rains all day. But like Seattle, it'll rain for like 2 hours, and that's nice the rest of the day.
Have you noticed we've been seeing a lot of Hallmark movies lately set in the Pacific Northwest?
Yes. Well, I'm wondering if it's because it's close to the border, to the Canadian border.
Right, right, near Vancouver. Yeah, because they could easily go up to Vancouver and shoot the rest of stuff. Yes, yeah. That makes sense.
Maybe some of these northwestern cities are offering tax credits to shoot here now, so it's not as expensive to leave the country.
And then here's one thing. I believe Cat Graham is Canadian. Because her co-star was American.
Okay.
So, because remember we were told that like if one of the stars has to be Canadian if they shoot it in Canada. So anyway, we find out that today Lauren is going to be getting her work review, right? And she's very nervous about it. And we find out that she works for the company that she works for is called Seamless,
which I thought was an odd choice in a movie that's present day, because Seamless is a big food delivery app. It's pretty widely known.
I did not know that.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's bigger on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So then she's talking to her friend Zoe, her work buddy Zoe, and she's telling Zoe how she still hasn't adjusted to the Seattle weather, and she basically actually has not adjusted to Seattle in general.
Right.
And we find out she's from Scottsdale. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, this movie, the stars were African-American. Which, for a Hallmark movie, you know, they're getting better at it, but that's pretty huge.
Mm-hmm. And we see something we've never seen before in a Hallmark movie in this movie.
Yes. Yes.
I don't want to give it away.
Yes.
I think I might know what it is, actually.
Stay tuned.
It was something that they got in trouble for.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I ranted about on this podcast.
Oh, that's not, it's not what I think it is then.
No, we'll get there. Yeah. This blonde woman who's in the movie is she Zoe?
Yes.
Or is that someone else? Yeah, this woman doesn't have much of a purpose. Not really. She's just kind of there to bounce off of. She's kind of like egging on the main character about like her love life.
Well, she's the BFF.
I guess that's a purpose.
Or in soap operas, they call that character a talk to.
A talk to.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Where like the star talks to the person, and basically this person is like, you know, kind of like, a sounding board.
Basically, they need somebody for the main character to spout the exposition to move the story along.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
A talk to. You said it's called a talk to?
Yeah. That's soap opera lingo.
I'm going to write that down. I like that. Not the best. Okay, that's fine.
So then we find out that Lauren is nervous about her review, but she brought her lucky cookies because
not a euphemism,
right? Actual cookies.
Yeah. It would have made me laugh if they had said the phrase lucky cookie more than they did in this movie, because then it would have started to sound dirty.
Lucky cookie. Okay.
And then
great drag name, by the way. Please steal away.
So they, these cookies like bring her, like she says, like whenever she has those cookies, like she gets what she wants. So we find out that she's been in Seattle for 3 years.
I use my cookie to get what I want.
That's Lifetime.
My cookie don't fail, man.
That's Lifetime. So
it's not my lifetime.
So we find out that she's been here for 3 years. She hasn't adjusted to Seattle. Plus, she moved there to make it as a writer, but she's working actually in the fashion closet. And she's the fashion librarian in the fashion closet. Which, looking at that fashion closet, it seemed like it would actually be a fun place to work in.
Yeah, probably.
And so then we cut to a baseball field. And we see this coach. He's very cute. He's talking to this little league team. And then his buddy comes and they start talking. And we find out that he has a second job. But they don't tell us what the second job is. But they did make it a point to show that he's very good with children. He's very good with his team. But then, yeah, his friend mentions his second job, but we don't know what the second job is yet. And then we also find out that they're looking for sponsorship for the team as well. So, back at Seamless, Lauren goes into the kitchen, and the baseball coach is eating her lucky cookie.
Why is he there?
Well, we'll find out.
Oh, okay.
We'll find out.
So, Coach Rob is eating Lauren's cookie.
Oh, man. How much of this I can take? Wow. Okay. He thought it was a communal cookie. Well, we got to get past these cookies. Yeah.
He thought that cookie was for everyone.
No, she really wanted. She really wanted that cookie.
That was Lauren's cookie.
Her cookie, right. Not to be given away.
And then she tells him, first she admonishes him for eating the cookie. And then she tells him, your snack room is down the hall. And she thought that he was a male mom. That's how cute he was. She thought he was a male mom.
But what do they have in the model snack room? Not
like
cookies.
Celery. The models, celery, carrots, cucumber water, like a lemon wedge, you know.
One lemon wedge.
They have to share it.
Not that deep.
So we see Lauren. She's talking to the boss. And of course I wrote, Jack Hayes should have been in that boss role.
Oh.
He's a good boss. So she's getting her performance review, and we find out that her grandmother used to work for the company.
Used to be a writer there.
Yeah. Her grandmother used to be a writer. And so that's part of the reason why she went to that company, because she wanted to be in her dead grandmother's footsteps.
I see dead people.
Exactly.
I actually don't get to use that in the rest of the movie. Like, we're not super surprised the grandma's dead, but we don't know whether or not she has a dad until very late in the movie. We know she has a mom. Yeah.
I bet her grandfather's dead, too.
Right?
Maybe.
Possibly. I see dead people.
We don't know anything about Rob's family, either.
Throughout our episode, we can go back generations through generations of her ancestors.
We know a lot about Lauren's cookie. We know nothing about Rob's family.
Oh, a cookie. Man.
So we find out that she's getting a raise. Like, she's doing a good job at her job.
5%.
She's getting a raise, but she had turned in this article, and the boss didn't like the article. then we find out that the company is going digital. And so the company is cutting back. And so she, Lauren, is like, I'm done with this. I'm over this. I want more out of life. I don't want to work. And she quits. Yes, she quits.
She gives up on life.
This is the first Hallmark movie I think we've seen where they acknowledge that print media is not succeeding right now.
Right.
Normally the heroine works at some big magazine and everyone's all excited about this print magazine in 2020. Not the case here.
Yeah, we're seeing it happen. We're actually seeing them realize this. As we're watching it, like, oh, we're going to have to switch to digital right now.
But then what she does is there's this assistant that always comes in for her for help. And so she actually recommends the assistant for the job, which I think was a very nice thing to do. So she says, basically, she's going to go back to Scottsdale, and her parents run an accounting firm. And so she's going to go and she's going to work for her parents. And so the boss, you think the boss is going to like beg her to stay, but the boss is like, oh, here's a card for my brother. And my brother is a mover. And guess who her brother is? Rob.
Yep.
The
baseball guy.
Is it her brother or her cousin?
Oh, no. Oh, sorry. It's her cousin. Sorry. Yeah, it's her cousin.
It was obnoxious too, because she pulls out a card like, here, this might help you, like it's some big connection, like I said, like Vogue magazine or something. It's like Cousins Moving Company. Get the fuck out.
I thought it was weird she had that card at the ready too. It wasn't like she had to dig for it. It was like right there in her like her billfold thing. She's like, oh, yeah. I keep these in case I know somebody that wants to leave. Here you go.
I know that cookie woman will be leaving soon. Obnoxious. I wouldn't call a number. I'd be like, I'm not calling your cousin.
So then she's on the phone. Lauren is on the phone with her mom, who is Cheryl Lee Ralph.
Yes.
Who I love.
Now, what do we know her from?
Dream Girls,
and then she was in a Hallmark movie about Holly Lodge.
Oh, we saw that. Yeah.
And many years ago, I saw her because she was at a table next to me at the Abbey in West Hollywood.
She was also on the 80s sitcom It's a Living.
Right.
Well, she is. Oh, I have seen that. Yeah. Okay. I remember that. With Ann Jillian.
And she's still very beautiful because I got to say, she's well into her 60s.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she's beautiful. She would. So.
What was Shirley Ralph doing at the Abbey? Was she tipping go-go's?
She was with a bunch of gay guys. Like, and it was one of these tables where there were like 10 guys and her.
Okay. So she was holding court.
Yeah, and it was on a Sunday fun day.
Okay.
So it was early in the day. It was, you know, because Kurt, Sunday fun day in West Hollywood is like the funnest afternoon to go out. And it's more of like an earlier thing. Because
it's like after brunch, everyone's already a little tipsy from brunch, and then they just go club hopping in the daylight.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So her mom tells her, you know, well, you tried, but we're still proud of you. And then what was she find out?
What was she peeling? Do you notice that somebody, the mom, Lauren, she was peeling.
It was an apple.
Really
apple.
Weird...
It was an apple.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was an apple.
On my TV, it came up a different color.
Yeah, she was. It was, but she was doing it like one of those spiral peels. It wasn't like up and down.
Yeah,
weird.
So then we find out that Brian, a friend of hers from high school, who she hasn't seen since high school, is going to be in town, and her mom is encouraging her to go out with Brian. Her mom loves Brian. Even though she says she doesn't want to go out with Brian, the mom is pushy and texts her the phone number anyway and says, I want you to go out with him. And then we find out that her grandmother, I guess her grandmother ran the magazine, right?
Yeah, at one point, I believe, yeah.
Yeah. So then there's a knock at the door, and it's Rob, her boss's cousin. And he's there to get an estimate of her moving job.
Right.
And so then we find out that, like, she's very organized, and his thing is it's easier to pack a messy apartment. And he's like double booked or something. And so he's like, I can't help you because I'm double booked.
Well, he already has it. He won't double book. He can only handle one move at a time.
Well, and so it begins that this is the most unrealistic movie I've ever seen. Because as we say, the moving involved in this is outland. I mean, the Dark Crystal is more true to life, true to reality than this movie.
What was your problem with the realism of the moving company?
She's never packing. She says she has 2 weeks. She's never packing.
That's true. Like, never.
I mean, has anyone here ever moved? It's insane.
But she's incredibly organized, as she tells Rob.
No, yes.
It's like, just give me the boxes. Everything will go in its place, and it'll be done.
And then she tells Rob, you know how organized I am? On your next job, I will knock 2 hours off of your next job. And I bet you I can do it. And if I don't, if I knock those 2 hours off, you're going to move me for free.
So no, she's going to work for him as part of a bet.
This is not the bet. The bet comes later in the movie.
Oh, all right.
Sorry,
he just has to take the job, period, even though it would double book him.
Right.
Okay.
So then we go back to Lauren, and she's training. So the assistant who she recommended for the job got the job. So Lauren's, like, training her for the job. And so in order to help the assistant to learn faster, Lauren asks her what her brain hack is. And basically she's like, you know, I'm better visually. So Lauren starts making videos for her like visual instruction for her, just to give, like, as her training manual. So then she gets a call. It's from Brian, but she doesn't pick up. So then we go to the place where they're going to move, like the place where she's supposed to knock 2 hours off of the move. And so then Rob brings coffee for her, but she brings coffee for Rob as well. Ooh, that's chemistry. Ooh,
I miss that moment.
They love coffee. They love coffee in these movies.
They really
do. Well, isn't it because it's Seattle?
Yeah, but every Hallmark movie.
Yeah, they're always drinking coffee. I think it's a shorthand for, like, hey, let's take a moment for ourselves. And it's also, like, one of the few drugs Hallmark can show you doing.
True.
Well, sugar.
Yeah.
That gets shown a lot, too.
Well, they had had the cupcakes. Yeah, they have a lot of cookies.
Oh, yeah.
Lauren's cookie. It's coated in sugar.
What? Oh, it's the
Lauren's cookie. Yeah.
Oh, it's too much. Too much. Yeah.
Don't get in my coffee.
Oh.
So basically,
so creepy.
So basically, they go in to help this guy, like, organize for the move. And so she basically rips off Marie Kondo.
Oh, yeah.
Tells the guy, pick three things that you like and think of why you want to keep them. And every time you pick up something, think of why you want to keep it. So basically, yes, Marie Kondo. And so it turns out she was right. She cut down the moving by 2 hours. So then Rob asks her if she wants to go out for a burger. And, you know, she she gives the you know, the city gal answer of, I mostly eat salads. But they end up going to the place, Bobby Sox, that's the hamburger joint. And Rob is one of these people where Rob has like a friend everywhere he goes and everybody likes him. So like mm-hmm. he goes in and like the owner's there and the owner likes him because he actually did the owner a favor, moved it.
The owner was standing uncomfortably close to them too. Did you notice that?
Yes.
When he was taking their order? they're mm-hmm. sitting at the diner counter and he's like right up on them.
And he shamed her because they order burgers. And so she orders a plain hamburger with, what was it? A plain hamburger and a glass of water.
Water. Yeah. Yeah, water.
Which I don't blame her for that. I live in Los Angeles where that order would not be weird at all.
Right. Well, she might not want to drink soda. So that, you know, that's fine.
And in Los Angeles, she probably would have gone one step further and said, I'd like a plain burger on a gluten-free bun, and then take, like, half the burger off of it and eat the thing with half the burger.
Or in lettuce, like they do it In-N-Out.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And she got french fries with it. That was included.
Right.
Maybe was trying to signal to the owner, hey, I'm boring, so back off, you creepy motherfucker. Like, he was right on top of
her. You're not getting anything from me.
Yeah.
And especially, I know people who don't like ketchup or don't like, you know, they like it plain. Maybe she's keto. But anyway, so he shames her. And so then, because Rob orders a burger, like, with all the works.
Mm.
And so they're talking, and we find out that, you know, she's really not, yeah, I mean, she's totally given up on Seattle. Like, she's done.
Yeah, she's done nothing. I don't know how she's lived there. She's lived there for 3 years, and she never went to the Pike Place Market.
Right.
Anyway.
So then Brian is like, yeah, he's basically said what Kurt said. I can't believe you've lived here for 3 years, and you haven't done shit. And so he tells her, if you can't find that, oh, so this is where the bet comes in.
Yes.
He's like, if you can't find three things that you like in Seattle, I will move you for free. So then the owner brings burgers and he's like so fucking pushy. He gives her the wrong order, but I think it was on purpose.
Yeah, I think so.
I wonder what would happen if I tried to, like, sue Hallmark and said, all this betting has, like, restarted my gambling problem. I was triggered. I've gambled away my life savings.
Like, because Hallmark stays away from anything even mildly shady, but for whatever reason they condone betting in their movies.
In my head, I equated gambling with the potential for young love, and now I'm broke. Only online slot machines were available, but it led to nothing but despair. All right, I'll get on that.
So then Brian, like, pressures her into taking a bite of this damn burger. So she does. And she likes it, but still, it's like, get off, you know, leave me alone. I want a plain burger. Why do you care? So she liked the burger, and then we're back at Seamless. And she's telling Zoe about the bet. And then Zoe starts giving her shit, too. Like, you never have any fun. You're all work. You never do anything. And then she's helping out Lauren's helping out the assistant again. And then Brian calls. And then Lauren actually answers the phone. And then Brian asks her out. So she agrees to meet Brian for lunch, which is very good and non-committal. You know, mm-hmm. lunch is not, it's not dinner.
He was being pushy. He was like, hey, you didn't know I was coming to town. Can you meet in a few hours from now?
Yeah.
She's like, no, I have a life. So no. Let's meet tomorrow.
What do you think I am?
So then he basically wears her down. So she's like,
Brian looked jerky, but he was more smooth than he looked.
He looked really familiar too. I think he's done a bunch of commercials. Maybe he looked really familiar to me.
There was a sportscaster that used to look kind of like him. I can't remember what his name was, or like a sports writer.
Anyway. Yeah.
He has a distinct look. Yeah.
So Brian wore her down, and then Zoe's giving her shit because Zoe's like, for 3 years you haven't dated, and now you're getting ready to leave, and you're dating two guys at once.
Oof.
And she's like, I'm not dating two guys at once. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Don't shame her for that.
Right. She's got game.
The blonde chick looked a little bit like Rita Wilson, by the way. Lauren did.
Yeah. Why are we shaming this woman? Jane, two guys, wants to eat a burger the way she wants. Jeez.
Like, leave her alone. So then we go to the baseball field, and she shows up at the baseball field, and she sees Rob giving this little kid a pep talk, which she likes, you know. And then they're walking and talking.
In the rain.
And in the rain. Because it is Seattle, after all.
Right. Well, I think it was raining the day of the shoot, so they had to work around that.
Yeah.
Work through that.
And then we find out that he, too, left Seattle, and he went to Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on a baseball scholarship, but he got injured. He injured his shoulder, and so he moved back. He had a girlfriend there, and then he moved back, and they were trying a long distance. What'd you say?
Because he missed walking. You said he missed walking around the city.
He missed walking, so he had to come back to Seattle.
Right. And so then they ended up breaking up.
How boring is that, by the way? What are your interests? Walking.
Walking.
And I can't do it here.
I mix it up sometimes, and I sit.
Not a lot of people know this. There was nowhere to walk at Vanderbilt.
No.
Conveyor belts everywhere.
Where is Vanderbilt?
I don't know. Is Scottsdale in Arizona? I'm not sure.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's where Arizona. Okay, yeah.
So where is Vanderbilt? Where is Vanderbilt?
That's like the Vanderbilts. The Vanderbilts are coming. Clean your house. They're going to judge you. It's like a very uppity name.
So then they have a touring mom.
Where's
it? It's in Tennessee, Nashville.
Oh, Tennessee. Okay. Oh, wow.
Oh.
That's a long trip.
Yeah. There's nowhere to walk in Tennessee.
No.
I guess not.
All right.
There's your answer. It's not a walking state.
No, everyone has flying cars there.
Yep.
So get this. I guess this movie had like a decent budget because they had a touring montage with like a popular song.
A Harry Styles song.
Oh, yeah. I was impressed by that.
It's like a current hit on the radio right now.
Yeah.
Radio and I was just kind of like, yeah.
So I was like, I guess they have like a decent budget to get the licensing for that. Mm-hmm. So then they ended the touring montage with a view of Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So then, of course, Cheryl Lee Ralph, her mom, calls her on the phone, and her mom is being very pushy about Brian. And like, you need to go out with him. You need to be open. You're too organized. You're too straight laced, blah, blah, blah. And so Lauren takes Brian back to the restaurant.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of fucked up.
I did too.
Really? How so?
Like, she went there with Rob, who, you know, was excited to introduce her to this thing. And the first date that she goes on, like the next day, she's like, hey, I just went on a date to this place. I want to bring you here too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
Right. And she could very easily run into Rob.
Yeah.
Once again.
That's right. Because Rob said he eats there every day.
Yeah. Well, plus the guy, the owner, is going to see her there. He's going to tell Rob, hey, your girlfriend's here with a different guy.
Yeah. Right.
Better take care of that guy, huh?
that your girlfriend who ordered a plain burger is here with that.
I tried slipping her burger with everything on it again. She was not having it.
Right. He's like, I knew you couldn't trust her. She ordered a plain burger. You know how those girls are.
She has something on the side.
Oh, so then we find out that they hadn't seen each other since high school. And so he starts doing something with a napkin, and she's thinking he's going to make a paper football because they used to play the paper football thing in high school, which I used to do that too. But it turned out that he made her a paper flower instead. So he started using the moves.
That can go either way.
And then he offers to take her to this pop-up restaurant. So then we see her. She's talking to Zoe. She and Zoe are going to yoga. And Zoe is also giving her shit and saying, you know what? You're too straight-laced. You need to, like, live it up a little bit. You need to have fun. So then she's packing, and she called, did she call Brian or did she call Rob?
She called Rob. She's at home packing, and it was really like one box into the entire project. And you could tell she's already like frustrated with the process and just like calls Rob and they go meet up.
Right. She talks about diversifying her life portfolio. I said, diversifying your life portfolio, which means she wants to F lots of different guys.
Yeah, good for her.
Which I can't be mad at her for that.
I wrote the whole
Lauren,
word.
Lauren, go forth and give away your cookies.
Make men happy. Why not? Spread the joy.
Go out with a bang.
Please. You
know? So she goes over to Rob's house. To get boxes.
No, she went to the warehouse for the moving company.
Oh, yeah. The warehouse.
I actually don't think see his house, do we?
I guess not. That's not his house.
Yeah.
No.
But so then when we go in there, he has like all this junk. Yeah. And we find out that basically when his friends leave Seattle, they always like drop their junk off at this house. Like they drop their stuff off and like, hey, can you watch this stuff? I'll send for it in a few months. And then they never send for it.
Yeah.
So then he owns it now, or does, that's weird. Cause I got stuff like that in my house. Is it mine now?
I think after some time.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And what he ends up doing with this stuff, he did get permission to get rid of it.
Oh, okay.
And we're talking, it wasn't like a basement full of stuff. It was like an entire warehouse full of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a pinball machine that was very prominent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Lauren is like, oh, so then Brian is like, he still needs to raise money for his Little League team because the Little League team wants to travel.
Yeah. And the sponsor they thought they had, I guess his nephew is in the same league, so he's going to sponsor that team.
Right. So then Lauren's like, I have an idea. You see all this junk? Why don't you have an auction? Which they think it's a fabulous idea. And so then...
Maybe he wants to keep his junk.
Right.
It's not his.
And I'll lay off your cookie.
She doesn't want him to lay off her cookie.
Oh, this
This is Brian, really our dirtiest episode yet.
She really is.
I hope all you quarantine people are enjoying this. This is for you.
Oh, so then Brian takes her to this, it's night, but then Brian takes her to like this greenhouse botanical garden thing.
Yeah, botanical garden, yeah.
And so they're walking around.
Haven't you been
around
to a botanical garden? I'm sure you've been to one before, right? Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I just went to one in England, when we were in England over the holidays, I went to one. And it was very warm inside. Yeah, the hotel that we stayed at in England, in Sheffield, right, actually had a botanical garden attached to it.
Oh, okay. You got an arboretum. That's cool, too. I'm saying it right. Okay.
I think you are. Oh, so then... So that as they're walking around, they're talking, and she's like, you know what, maybe I should have been an accountant like my parents. And he tells her, no, because you followed your passion, and even though it didn't turn out the way that you wanted it to, you still followed it. And so then, in the middle of their walking around, they're basically a date, Brian calls, and she picks up.
By accident.
Which I thought was very rude.
It was an accident. Okay. She tried, yeah, she tried like muting the call and shows the like on the DL, like tries to mute it and throw the phone back in her purse. And instead of muting it, she answers. So you hear Brian going, hello, hello. She had to pick it up.
Yeah, but then when she picks it up, don't you think you'd be a little coy and wouldn't like say certain things? She really like projects. She's like, oh, hi, Brian. Yes, we're going to the seafood pop up tomorrow night.
Right.
Wouldn't you just be like, right. yeah.
Just jam it in Rob's face.
Just sexy info. Yeah.
So then Rob gets jealous.
Maybe that's her strategy.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Underestimate her.
So then Rob is jealous, right? And so then we're back at the office. The assistant has another question. And so then Lauren basically tapes herself again, giving instructions to this assistant.
I couldn't follow the assistant. I just had no interest in the assistant. In fact, I wrote, I ignore the other woman who works there. She is not worthy of me taking notes. For some reason, I just really got... I just had no interest in her. I didn't even know that she was the next in line for the job until you said it. For some reason, when she appeared, and I don't think this has ever happened to me, I just blanked out.
Did you block the character out, which I think is a totally normal response to a character you don't respond to, but I think it's hilarious that you took time to actually note it. Like, nope, not worth my time. Enter.
That was notable.
Get off of my TV.
Yeah, it's really just didn't connect with it, and I was just like, well, I'm not going to even attempt.
I just don't even care. She dead to me.
I mean, the rest of it, I was on board.
Don't even have the time, so I'm going to take time to note that I don't even have the time.
What else am I going to do? I'm sitting in my house all day.
Oh, so then we see the boss, and she's talking to Rob, and then I'm like, oh, that's right, they're cousins. So. She's talking to Rob, and then we find out that she wasn't being a bitch. The magazine was actually going to shut down, and so they went digital to try to save it. So then I was like, oh, she's not a bitch. She wasn't being a bitch to Lauren. She really did have to save the magazine, and she probably really didn't have the budget to promote her. But, okay, so then Rob tells her about the auction, and then she's like, did you tell Rachel you're going to sell her stuff? Da-da-da, dun-dun-da, an ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So then Lauren and Rob's buddy are there, and they're helping him organize. Organize like all the stuff, all the junk. And so there's a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of cool looking things actually. Mm-hmm. So they're organizing, and then his friend goes, but what about Rachel's stuff? Da da da, ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
So then Lauren's out with Brian. They both confess that they had crushes on each other in high school. Brian makes a move. She shuts it down. And then she leaves the date and goes to Rob's house. Yeah. Or Rob's warehouse.
Well, no, she goes to the baseball field after practice. But what I'm thinking is, like, she's on a dinner date. Like, even if it's early, like, even if they met at 6 for dinner, And then it, they go, what, like two and a half hours? How late were these kids practicing?
Ah, right. They need to practice.
These kids are like 8 years old.
Right.
But also Brian takes it really well when she, because Brian, he thinks he's hooking up with her. You know, he thinks he's got a date. And she's like, no, she thinks it's a date. And she says, it's not even a date. Now, I would have started crying. But Brian just, you know, he's okay. Everybody's so cool in these movies.
Normally so that would
up with.
That would bug me if it weren't for the fact that, like, they currently don't live in the same city. They are old high school friends that should just be meeting to catch up. So I can see both sides of it in this case where she's like, no, it's not a date. And Brian thinking, like, I think it might be a date.
Well, I wouldn't have started crying, but I wouldn't have known what – I wouldn't have, like, the smooth thing. So I would have been like, blah, 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 like, I don't know, you know.
I would have just said, Lauren, I would like to try your cookie.
Yeah, well, that is on the menu. I'd be like, cool, I guess we're splitting the check then. No, not a date. Oh, see, maybe I'm smooth. That's cool. There's hope for me.
Oh, so then after they have hot dogs, she brings hot dogs with like cream cheese on it.
Yeah, what the fuck? Excuse me, I'm trying not to swear. What's the?
I'll do it. What the fuck? Is that a Seattle thing, Kurt?
I don't know. It sounds fascinating. I think I would like that. That sounds good. Cream cheese hot dogs? I need to look that up after this. All right, I need to check that out.
Yeah, Kurt, I was going to ask you. I'm like, what place is that?
Never heard of that in my life, so that's definitely not an East Coast thing.
I mean, you think you put cheese on a hot dog, that's considered normal. Cream cheese is a consistency maybe closer to a firmer mayo.
It might be in the bread. I don't know. I'm on board.
No, it sounds good. It sounds really good.
Yeah. I'm glad I discovered this. This movie is worthwhile.
So then they start like playing night baseball as a way to show that they're falling for each other.
Except she's playing baseball in like a business suit.
Right. Because she's always business. She's all business. She never has fun.
It's a uniform.
So then she's on the phone with her mother, and we find out that she's bitching because, of course, since she has not been packing this entire movie, she left packing until the last minute.
It must be crazy.
And so her mom is like, you know what? I'm going to come out and help you. So basically, from what I gathered,
you jumped ahead there quite a bit.
Oh, okay. So what did I miss?
Kurt's favorite person, Paige, comes in the office. She's freaking out about stuff not fitting in the massive closet library. And Paige encourages has her do math, and she figures it out. So they are packing a closet via math. Okay. They have the launch party for the digital thing. And Zoe and Lauren are talking about it being Lauren's last day. Zoe's going to go to help out with the auction. Julia gives a speech. She calls Lauren the calm in their daily storm. And then Lauren and Julia have a nice heart-to-heart, so we know that Julia's not a bitch. And then we're back at the warehouse. Lauren is showing Zoe the space. She meets Logan, Rob's friend and helper guy. And then we find out that Rob isn't going to be doing the move, that Logan's going to be doing it. And Rob's just going to come say hi at the end. And he says that he has one more thing that he has to show Lauren after she's packed up.
We forgot Rob's ex-girlfriend.
Oh, wait, no, she's not there yet.
No, she's at the end of the movie.
She's on her way.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think you might be out of order there or something. And so then we're back at the warehouse, and I'm sorry, and then, after Rob tells Lauren he has one more thing, he has to show after she's packed up, he thanks her for all her help putting together the auction, and he goes in for a kiss, but kisses her on the forehead.
forehead. Yeah, that's
something. I'd be like, F you.
She does have a little bit of a look on her face like, wait, is he gay? She had that look of like, right. Wait, what just happened?
Right. Which, if she questioned whether or not he was gay, she had every right to, because that's something a gay guy would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Foreheads get greasy too. You gotta be careful of that. I know mine does.
Yeah, I'd either be like, F you, or yeah, I'd be like, are you gay?
Yeah.
And not in a derogatory way, but just, oh, I thought when he was here.
When he was going in for the forehead, she should have jumped up, and then he would have accidentally kissed her on the lips.
Yes.
Right.
See, I have love advice for people out there.
So then we're at the auction, right?
Well, that now we're up to Shirley Ralph saying that she's going to come fly in.
Rock, oh, okay. Rock.
Yeah. And I've noted at this point that Shirley Ralph was kind of the Vivica Fox of the movie because she's never in a scene with anyone. She's only on the phone. Like, clearly she shot all her scenes in, like, one day.
I noticed that, right. Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, I can do this. But my friend Vivica told me.
I'm not leaving my table. I'm not leaving this table.
Yeah.
And she did it. She was always at the table.
She probably handcuffs herself to earn her own table. She's like, that's it. You have no choice. She does. She ends up in another scene, though. So
she right. does.
Yeah.
So well, then, so now because we find out she's coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the party happens, or the auction happens. The magazine like donated like a bunch of cool clothes.
Yeah,
that was nice though.
And so Lauren is like, we should wear the clothes because that's a good way to sell the clothes, which is very smart.
And what did you think was going to happen in this moment, Les?
A makeover.
I thought there was going to be a makeover montage. They set it up perfectly for a makeover montage. There was not a makeover montage.
There was none. But see, after the last movie that gave me two, I was kind of...
They had like 10 in that movie.
Yeah, you can't get greedy.
Right. So I had two last week. So I was good. Oh,
you're still averaging one a week.
Right, exactly. So then, it's the night of the auction. They're all dressed up. Like, they look very nice because the clothes were from a couple of seasons ago, but they were still good. They were great, actually. Mm-hmm. So then we find out that Lauren is having second thoughts.
Well, they're just having sex.
Right.
Having second thoughts. Okay.
She's having a second cookie.
Mm-hmm.
So like the auction is like a popular, like they have a lot of people. It actually looks fun. Yep. I would have had a good time there. The kids show up, like the little baseball team shows up because this is to benefit them.
Unsupervised.
And then Lauren's boss shows up. And then Rachel, the ex-girlfriend, shows up, and I was shocked.
I was
too. What is her distinguishing feature?
I was shocked because Rob was African American, and Rachel was white. And the reason I was shocked is because we remember all that scuttlebutt about how the Hallmark Channel would never show interracial relationships.
Right, yeah.
So the fact that they had this, I was like, oh, you know, maybe they're, you know, baby steps.
Yeah, it's a relationship that's no longer happening, but it happened.
But it happened.
Yes, but and we as the viewer aren't seeing it on screen.
Right. Rachel was in more than one scene. It wasn't like, hi. It's like she was in a good chunk of the movie.
Huh?
Yeah. So, yeah.
How was Rachel in a good chunk of the movie? She was literally in this one scene.
No, was she in it again?
She did create conflict. She did create.
No, the character itself was established and sort of underlying conflict in the movie, but she was only in the one scene. Okay.
Yeah, what are we going on with that?
I was like, did I see something else?
I trusted you less. I did see this movie.
I was surprised, though, that they brought, because I didn't think we were ever going to meet her. We were so far into the movie at this point. We're in the last 20 minutes. I didn't think they'd be introducing another character at this point. I actually kind of gave Hallmark kudos for like, oh, nice little monkey wrench. We actually meet her right now.
Right.
I wonder if they slipped that in the movie because, you know, the news is so consumed with a virus right now that, you know, that, because otherwise that would have hit the news.
I know, right? The Hallmark Channel has an interracial relationship. But, oh my God.
See, people are going to slip things under the radar now.
No, I think we've seen interracial in some of the secondary characters.
Right.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I've got to give Hallmark kudos because a lot of the movies that we've been watching lately, the current movies, are ethnically diverse.
Yeah.
And the fact that the two stars of this movie were Black, and this movie was very racially diverse as well, because wasn't even like the assistant, she looked South Asian. Like,
yeah, she was
Indian.
Asian. Yeah.
So, yeah. So this movie, hey, good for you.
This is their most recent movie, I believe.
Yeah. I stared over the weekend.
Yeah.
So then, it's kind of awkward. Rob introduces Rachel to Lauren, but Lauren introduces herself as Rob's client. And so then she walks away. Rob and Rachel are basically kind of like, it seems like they're making peace with each other. She picks out the stuff that she wants to keep. Then she gives them a big hug, and Lauren sees them hugging and of course gets the wrong idea. And then the auction ends, the auction's a success, and then Rob asks her out, and she tries to say no, but he ends up talking her into it. And basically, they have a view of Seattle
from some very Hallmarky looking gazebo.
Yes.
It was like a gazebo high atop something, but it's decorated with the really warm lights and flowers everywhere. It looked beautiful. It just didn't seem like Seattle to me.
It looked familiar to me because I've been. And it looked like a place that's near Pike's Market, kind of.
Okay.
I didn't recognize it, but that doesn't mean anything.
And then he gives her a gift to, like, thank her. He gives her a plant from the botanical garden that she actually liked. So then now, we find out.
Was the plant yanked out of the ground, or I don't remember that.
Probably did.
Okay.
He committed a felony because he likes her that much.
Right.
You're like, oh, she liked that plant. I'm going to head back and yank it.
So then, you know, we find basically she's moving tomorrow and she thinks he's still into Rachel. And he's like, no, I'm not into her. We were just, you know, we're friends now. And then.
She never packed.
And so then, she's leaving tomorrow, but Rob is like, hey, let's give this a go. And she's like, well, it didn't work out with you and Rachel because it was long distance. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, I'm a different person now. I'm more mature now, you know? So then she's like, no, and they're done. So then Rob is talking to his buddy, his friend. And he tells the friend, I'm still into her. I still like her. And I want to make a go of this, but she does not. So I got to respect her wishes. So then Cheryl Lee Ralph shows up and she's in a scene with others.
Yeah, she comes storming in the room.
they better be on their A game.
And then Lauren is crying. And well,
what did Cheryl leave Ralph bring with her?
Oh, her dad. Her dad.
No.
Her
she,
dad.
She brought a Mr. cookie. Lee
Ralph. A cookie.
Oh, a cookie.
The dad wasn't there. We never see the dad.
Oh, she brought a cookie.
Yeah, she brought a cookie.
Yeah. I like that though. Mr. Lee Ralph. No, she
Mr. Lee Ralph.
So the mom, like, she's crying, and the reason she's crying is because the assistant made like a goodbye, like a going away tape for her. And then her mom, Shirley Ralph, is like, are you sure you want to move? And then we find out that part of the reason why is she feels like she failed because she was doing this to follow in her grandmother's footsteps. And Shirley Ralph is like, well, maybe writing just isn't your thing, and maybe you have a talent somewhere else. And just, you know, hey, it's not your thing, no big deal. You just got to discover what your talent is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's not arguing that she might be a bad writer.
Right, exactly.
Although, I also think it's funny that mom, Cheryl Lee Ralph, went to that pretty quickly. Like, she could have told her daughter this years ago, but now she's like, you know, maybe you shouldn't be a writer.
Yeah, but think about this for a second, though. If she would have told the daughter this years ago, the daughter would have been like, Mom, you're just saying that. Mom, you're just jealous. Mom, you just don't want me to move. Like, you know.
Honey?
She probably wasn't ready to hear it at the time.
Honey, you don't know the difference between there, and it's. You're a sucky writer.
Have a cookie.
And so, yeah, the mom is like, you're too uptight. You've always been uptight. You need to chill out. And then
quite abusive.
Warren, all of a sudden...
Mom Lauren, is gaslighting her.
Lauren has an idea. And then the Ding. Mom is like, and then she's going to run after the office, and the mom's like, you need to change your clothes first.
And that idea probably her mom, sucks.
So her mom is basically like, you look like shit. You need to change before you leave the
house. Well, what I thought was funny is Lauren just says, you know what? I'm going to make it happen. Lauren doesn't reveal that she's going to leave the house to do whatever it is she's doing, but mom still tells her she needs to change. Nah. So for all she knows, like, Lauren could just be like going in the next room to send an email, but mom's like, you're not wearing that to send an email.
No. You're not mom's dressing like Radio Man.
Like, don't you have any friends?
Lauren is getting shamed left and right during this lockdown.
Girl, she's been shamed by everybody in this movie.
I like her.
I did too.
I did too.
Yeah.
Oh, and I like the dude. Yeah. I liked him for other reasons.
Same.
I've been cooped up for a while. You never know why I liked him.
True. Do you like Rob's cookie?
Rob didn't have a cookie.
Let's change the subject.
Because he sold it at auction.
Man.
Oh, okay. So she goes to the boss. She goes to her boss, and she shows the boss like the things that she recorded, and she's basically got a knack for that. Like, she's good at
hosting.
Like hosting.
On camera hosting. You're talking about organization, essentially.
Yeah.
And Rob's friend calls to get him to go, encourage him to go to Lauren.
Yeah, well, he's like, hey, there's a problem over here. You've got to come. Problem with the move. So Rob rushes over.
And Lauren is there. And they talk. and she canceled her move because she decides that she's going to stay. Mm-hmm. And then she says, guess what? I got a new job hosting the videos. And then they kiss. The end.
But apparently she can't stay in the same apartment. She's got to, she does have to move to a different apartment. That sucks.
She gave up her apartment.
I don't know that for sure, though.
She said, do you know about any apartment vacancies?
Yes, but I think that was like cute wordplay, like, oh, I'm moving. I gave up this place, as opposed to she should probably just go ask her landlord if she can stay there.
Oh, okay.
Because he said he knows a place very close by.
Hmm. Oh, that's where she already is. Yes. See, I didn't read between the lines. Okay.
Now, I actually like this movie. Which it's been, it's so funny that when we like the movie, the podcast is actually shorter.
Yeah. Well, I usually base whether I like, because I usually base the Hallmark movie based on whether I like the leads, and I did.
Yeah, I enjoyed really everyone in the cast except the creepy owner of the diner, and Kurt. You didn't like Paige. Actually, you didn't even give Day Paige players, any time. Yeah. You have no opinion of Paige.
Paige, okay. You know, it's not the actress; it's not her fault. It's just the characters had no interest. And in all fairness, I may have zoned out at the beginning, and I just didn't. I never crawled back with Paige.
I like the fact that she didn't like. I like the fact that this wasn't about like shucking your career away to stay in a small town for men. I like that, she stayed, but the reason she stayed is because she created a new career for herself.
Yeah, this is actually the opposite of most Hallmark movies. Not only did she not move back to the small town to help her family, she did the opposite of that. She left her family a little bit in a lurch and is staying in the big city for a bigger career.
But the family actually kind of encouraged her to stay.
Oh, they did, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't want her there.
No.
So this actually was a very progressive Hallmark movie.
There should be a sequel where like the family is like now financially struggling and destitute and like drinking their own urine to survive.
And meanwhile, Lauren is just doing videos on a website about how to organize your closet.
And then Marie Kondo comes in like, you know,
right. I would love a Marie Kondo Hallmark
movie. Beats the shit out of him. She beats the shit out of him.
Yeah, because Marie Kondo's like, you stole my idea.
Marie Kondo comes in, kicks the shit out of everyone, and just grabs a cookie and just slow-mo walks off.
She grabs a set of knives and says, we need to get rid of a couple of these. And starts throwing it in people's eyes.
It'll be called Killer Cookie, a lifetime.
Yeah, that's a multi-plot movie. We might need Quentin Tarantino to direct that one.
And then the final line is Marie Kondo going, stealing this cookie sparks great joy.
That's great. I actually see it as a Robert Altman movie. Is he still alive? I think he died.
I think he died, yeah.
Okay, forget it then.
Speaking of Robert Altman, that's one of the movies that I want to watch during this quarantine. I want to watch Nashville.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I never saw Nashville. You know, I saw Shortcuts the night of the OJ's white Bronco chase. I was like sitting home and I watched. It was at my parents' house at the time, so I watched the Shortcuts, and I didn't even know this white Bronco thing was going on until like the next day. I had this 3.5-hour movie on, whatever it was. So I always remember that about that movie.
See, I knew that the Bronco chase.
You were in LA.
And I was supposed to be going to the airport to go to LAX to go to the gay games in New York. And there was a potential that I was going to miss my flight because 405 was shut down.
Oh, wow.
So I was pissed.
I did see the OJ. I did see a picture. OJ is taking precautions during the virus. He wears a mask, which. Yeah,
he's already got gloves on.
We still need to know he's OJ. So please, at least wear a shirt saying "I'm OJ." If you're going to wear a mask and you're OJ, we need to be safe from everything.
Right. Seriously.
But that's good. Okay.
Well, gentlemen, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett, or on Instagram at Kirkendall. And Kirkendall is spelled K-U-R-K-E-N-D-A-A-L. And like our Facebook page, which is a Lifetime of Paul Mark podcast, I see that people are checking out our Facebook page. And when you check out the Facebook page, if you have some movie suggestions, make them. Because so far, literally, I think some of the best movies that we've watched have been from listener suggestions. So please, suggest movies to us. Oh, and give us a 5-star review as well. Because we have reviews coming in, but 5 stars would be lovely. And Jason, how would they find you?
First of all, go ahead, Kurt.
Oh, no, Les, aren't you doing a show?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Kurt. I was supposed to be touring with my show, but because of events, it looks like the tour is not going to happen. But I'm going to be doing my show online, live. And the show is called Walking While Black in Moscow. And I'm going to be doing that on April 29th at 7 o'clock. And I'm going to do it via Zoom. So if you want information about that, message me at my Facebook on Facebook Messenger at Les Kirkendall at Facebook, and I will get you the details. Thank you, Kurt. Thanks for that. Now, Jason. Sure.
Okay. You can find all of us on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. You can find me on Insta, Facebook, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. Kurt.
Well, I'm at KurtFitzpatrick.com, but I'm also doing a show. And this had a different title in the last episode. I called it Campus Martius, The Hunt for Eric Roberts. It is called that, but I'm calling it Kurt's Birthday Show, which is because it's easier. And that'll be on my birthday, April 16th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's on my Facebook page. It'll be Facebook Live. You have the option of making – you can make a donation or you can watch it for free. And it's it'll be set to public, so anybody can see it. Just do a search. I am the most famous Kurt Fitzpatrick alive, so I'll probably be the first one that comes up. So you could check that out. Yep.
We could also, you give Les the link, we could probably put it on Facebook.
Yeah, I guess so.
On the Facebook group.
Yeah, it's just my Facebook, because my Facebook page has in recent months has been public. It also chronicles my, because I said in a previous episode, I said I was diagnosed with a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, so I've been going through chemo with that. So a lot of that stuff is pictures and information about that is up there as well.
Yes, yes. And I saw Kurt's last show. It was hilarious. The one on Facebook.
Yeah, that's on there too. That's up there as well still. So you could scroll down and see that.
Now, I guess I better go because of this quarantine, I've become quite the cook. So I gotta go cook. Is it?
Me too.
Who thought that like the most exciting thing in your day is, what are you gonna have for dinner tonight?
I made a garlic honey chicken, but it burnt a little bit. So I'm gonna try again this evening.
Ah, that sounds good.
I'm gonna make it the right way though.
Anyway, well, I guess I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.